Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to Aces Up the Sleeve. I'm Patty, co-hosting, the co-managing partner of Pocket Aces Racing, or PAR for the quick reference, Jared Shoemaker. And just to kind of run through my spiel here, in this podcast, as many of you have been listening, we shed light on all things to do with the syndicate. We touch on what it's like to be syndicate owners. We discuss on what you, the listeners, the fans, the partners have asked us to talk about. And we've also kind of branched into talking about news outside of Pocket Aces Racing because we are industry participants. But before we kind of jump into our in-house updates and get everybody caught up to speed on what's been going on with us the last few days since we released last week, Jared, how are you doing today?
I am doing just fine and dandy.
I feel like
watching the rain come down.
That's your usual response. Are we feeling melodramatic because UK is not doing that well?
Now see, that was unnecessary. It was completely and totally uncalled for to even bring it up and make me go back into my lamentation. But that's okay.
I heard that there's some serious drama though going on with that. Like, people are very not happy right now.
Well, I tell you what, Thursday night about 9:30, I was pretty daggone unhappy, and I was threatening to not spend another dime on UK Athletics because I got season tickets for damn near everything, and I was not going to spend another dime. And I'm still not convinced that I'm going to spend more dimes, but I'm not quite as upset as I was last Thursday. But you know, I'm tired of talking about it. The basketball season's over. UK baseball and softball are in full swing, though the weather's been too bad for me to get out to any of the games yet. If any of our listeners ever need UK baseball or softball tickets, hit me up. I usually can help you out.
All right. Well, then let's, aside from our poor showing of our local UK folks, how are you doing other than that?
I'm good. You know, just it's bill paying time, so you know, yep. I've got to pay all the bills that come in every month for the horses, and that's usually done this last week of the month. And I've just been,
I feel like that's when everything
writing checks till my hand hurts.
I just say, I feel like that's when everything comes in for all of us, because like that's what I feel like I've been doing all this week too, as much as we don't want to.
Yeah, this is the side of the syndicate ownership that our partners never really, they don't have to deal with it. They get one invoice every 3 months and they pay one time.
Yep.
Meanwhile, I feel like I've got my right hand is turned into a claw from gripping that pen and writing out so many checks. So we make this part easy for you. Right?
Do you think physical therapy for your hand could be a tax deduction for the business?
I'm gonna make a workers' comp claim against the business here.
Oh my lord. Well, we're not going to outline it here. We're going to get in trouble. So let's roll into... So then let's go ahead and we'll just talk a little bit about some of our in-house updates. Do you have any availability updates for anybody that you kind of want to share since we last posted and talked about them?
Yeah, you know, it's still got the same four now two-year-olds that are... we got some availability left in. I don't understand it, you know. That's okay. They're all doing wonderfully. They're all off their breaks, they're training, and just taking that next step in the process of becoming racehorses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just Kevin and the guys at Silver Spring, Kevin and Joey, they just couldn't be any happier about it. And if any of our listeners are interested, we will be having our spring open house, mm-hmm. April 13. We're going to have some, unfortunately, I think I've mentioned before, unfortunately, my sister's out of town and unable. No, it's prom day. That's right. And she's unable to do my do the food for us this year, but we're gonna feed everybody just fine and dandy, and let everyone get up close and personal with the horses there at Silver Springs, and we'll have a few folks that are wanting to visit their horses that are at other places that day as well. So we're trying to implement that and facilitate that for everyone. But if you're interested in coming to the open house on April 13 and you have not RSVP'd yet, whether you are a partner or not, if you would like to join us, please hit us up. Let us know. The more the merrier, and would love to show off some of these two-year-olds and see if we can get these suckers sold out so we can go buy some more horses.
Yeah. I was like, we need a reason to spend more money.
That's right. That's right. I'm like, we actually tried to claim one the other day that we were going to claim to breed. And, unfortunately, she scratched out of the race, and we didn't get to drop on her. We We did get word that somebody was going to drop on, or that somebody was going to buy her privately. So that happened, and we didn't get to move forward with that plan. But she was a really, really well-bred. I think she's either 4 or 5, and we were gonna see if we could pick her up and get her up here and get her in foal, but didn't work out. But hey, you know what? We've got both our mares. We got their 16-day pregnancy confirmation over the weekend. Spellbook in foal to Nashville, and Homer Angel in foal to Drain the Clock. And looking to, add another mare or two to the band, and keeping an eye out on these digital sales. We tried to buy a filly, a yearling filly, short yearling filly off the last one, and she went for double what we thought she ought to go for, and tried to buy a horse of racing age that we thought looked like a pretty good value at 15,000, and the daggone thing went for over 30.
Ooh.
So man, people are buying up racehorses, and Mark and I've talked about it a lot. These digital sales, never in a million years did we think that these things would take off like they have. Just
I frankly am not
it's crazy.
surprised. Like, it is brilliant to harness humanity's love of online shopping, because this is what this is.
It is, and for so long, so much of what we do is going out and seeing the horses, and getting a good look at them ahead of time. It's not quite as important with these horses of racing age, even though we are still pulling their vet reports. And we're finding out what if they've got any issues going on with them, but you know already what kind of racehorses they are. They've run several times, and so you have an idea. But the one short yearling that we looked at in the sale, we went out to the farm to look at her before we made a run at her, and it's just there's a lot of people buying horses sight unseen. Unproven horses, yearlings, babies. It's not as big a deal maybe with the mares, but it's been way more successful on the part of Basic Tipton especially than I thought that it would be. And there's a lot of people that tried it beforehand and have not done nearly as well. I think the Basic Tipton name gives a little more clout to this particular to their particular version of the online sale.
Well, and kudos to them for assembling, these online catalogs that are worthy of the clout. Because I also feel like if it was just, a Fezzik Tipton slap to a catalog, that really wouldn't be, weird at any of like the, other kind of online listings. I feel like people wouldn't be as enthusiastic about it either, though. I still
Oh,
feel
no
like
doubt.
we are a little, I think people still are a little cautious with their money,
And
but these are nice catalogs.
there's no doubt that people are that they're shopping folks hard. I mean, I think one sold in the March version for over $1 million or something on a digital sale. It's crazy.
Really?
I mean, there was somewhere in that neighborhood. It was a stakes winning mare, and but so they're definitely going out and getting big horses for these sales. And it's quite frankly, I'm happy about it. I'm happy that they've been so successful because there's times when we've had a horse that probably it's time to retire it, but it's the middle of June or something, and it's tough to sell as a brood mare in the middle of June. But now these kind of sales give you a little more leeway and a little more options maybe get a horse into a sale when you need to get it into a sale.
Well, and it expands eyes. It enhances the number of people who are going to be seeing your horse, whereas before you kind of had to rely on whoever showed up for that particular sale at that time. Whereas with these online catalogs, I think the last coverage that we did of the March online sale for Fezzik Tipton, there were something like over 700 people registered, and there was like 9 different countries. So that's the statistics are out there, but it's like you have so many eyes on these horses, and I think it's a boon, and it also emphasizes that our sport is very international, that the world is a little smaller, I think, sometimes than we give it for, even if it is very big.
Yeah.
So
Well, Patty, we had no intention of talking about Fezzik Tipton digital sales, so when
I
we
know.
popped on here today, it
Here
just
we
kind
go.
of happened that way. But that seems to be what happens with us at times. So,
Yep. Well, then
well,
let's
anyway,
talk about Irish Aces then.
yeah, you know,
Complete flip.
he had a good run in the Moonies. He was right there. He ran some good numbers. He wasn't beaten all that much, especially he was really close to being able to hit the board. Just the feedback that we got from Brendan and from, well, mostly from Brian Hernandez, is that he's just a little bit green. And Brendan had kind of talked about this with us previously, that he's a horse that just needs some experience. And we talked about it a little bit in our previous episode. He was running against a lot of horses that have run a lot of times against very, very serious company. And this is definitely the toughest field and deepest field that he's ever run in. And he acquitted himself very, very well. He just needs more seasoning. He needs more experience, and just to figure out a little bit more of what is expected of him in races such as this one.
Well, and I mean, I think I even texted you after that race. I'm like, he did something funky on that turn because it looked like he was rolling and then all of a sudden just stopped. And
Yeah,
it
he
was quite
just had a little
sudden.
traffic, had a little traffic
Is that what
trouble.
happened?
I don't think that it was anything that was, going to cause him to win the race, and probably not enough that they were going to take anybody down. But definitely it cost him a little bit. But the biggest thing is we just need to. He's got a ton of talent. He's got plenty of speed, and we just need to get a few more races under his belt. So. With that in mind, we're looking at an allowance optional at Churchill Downs, for which he will not be running for a tag. To anybody that's thinking about that, he won't be in for a tag. But it ought to be a race that gives him a probably a little bit better chance to win than one of these big graded stakes. And if we can
Well,
get a couple
and a
more,
bit of a breather too,
a
because
little yeah, a little bit of a breather. Now, again, who knows what might show up in that?
yeah,
There could
that's
be
true.
some serious horses that just haven't gotten that third win yet. Like him, they've tried stakes company, and now they're dropping back down into allowance company just to get to do for them what we want to do for him. And so it's not saying that it's going to be an easy race, or it's just going to be something he'll run away with. But I do think it'll be top to bottom. It should be a lesser field where he's got a much better chance to be in the mix and get that next win. We'll see how that works out. And looks like we're gonna have several that'll be running at Churchill this meet. We've got a couple that we're pointing towards Keeneland. So it's the fun race season is really getting going in Kentucky. Not that I haven't had a good fun race season in Turfway, but it's just much warmer over the next few months.
You say it's slightly less miserable, I think, for a lot of folks. For me, like for people like myself who are heat intolerant, not so much. But I mean, it's at the end of the day, I feel like it's always just a good time. You go out there,
Absolutely.
you see a bunch of partners, you see your friends, catch up with people you haven't seen in a bit. So yeah, I feel like Churchill and Keeneland are as good of a reason to go and be social as it is
Absolutely.
anything else. So,
Before we get talking into the current Triple Crown standings and all that, I do want to mention also Oathbreaker, who debuted at the fairgrounds last week, last Thursday. And on paper, just watching the race, maybe it didn't look like it was a whole lot to be excited about. But I'm telling you,
I watched it.
I'm really, really happy with how that race went.
Really?
And Mark and I talked about, first of all, he got out of the gate extremely well.
Always a good thing.
Probably the biggest issue there is that we might have beat the rider over the head a little too much about making sure he didn't get caught in a speed duel. And the rider did what we asked him to do, and he took him way back, probably a little further than we wanted to, but you know what? That's okay. The
Well,
rider did
he
say,
got kickback in his face, so.
yeah, the rider did say he didn't care for all the dirt and everything that was getting kicked back in the face. But that's certainly, a lot of them don't like that. And for his very first race, that's something that he ought to hopefully will adjust to and do better with more times he runs. But again, we knew he's not a sprinter, and that he was going to be better going longer. And that's kind of what he looked like. He was gaining ground late and passing some tired horses, and that's what we wanted to see. And the first quarter in that race went in 22.01, and then it was 45 and change after that. So I don't expect he's going to see a ton of that in route races. and they'll be able to be much closer to the pace and ought to be in much, much better situation. And I mean, Mark and I have talked about it considerably. He reminds us a lot of Ace's High's debut. Ace's High was never meant to be a sprinter, but we started him off at, six furlongs because we just wanted to get, get him a little more fit before we put him into a route race. And quite frankly, he did not perform nearly as well. The race looked very similar, but the numbers that Oathbreaker got were much, much, much better, and much, much. And it shows that I think we've got a lot to be excited about here with this horse coming up. Not saying he's going to be an Aces High, just that debut reminded us a lot of Aces High's debut. And for those of you that don't know Aces High, he's graded stakes placed, won over $300,000 for us, and had a just a really, really strong career. So that's if we can get that out of Oathbreaker, I think most of us will be pretty daggone happy.
Well, and that's, and we kind of talked about oats before, where, you had told, we'd mentioned in a conversation that even on the farm, he was kind of one of those horses where the light came on after he figured everything out. But then when he went to a new place, the light went off and he had to refigure it out and the light came back
Right,
on. So
right.
it's kind of like the, he'll get there. And I feel like it's kind of like a learning curve. But like once you get past it, I feel like a lot of horses, once they've been there and they've seen that, I feel like a lot of them will probably start being like, oh, okay, this is fine, I can do this. So
And the good news is he's already back up here. He's at Churchill, so he's going to have some time to get settled in. And we'll decide if we send him over to Keeneland, if we send him to Horseshoe in April, or maybe we just wait and for something at Churchill. We'll just kind of have to see how that plays out as he gets settled in and starts training again. So I'm hoping to get out there soon to watch him work under the Twin Spires very, very soon.
So, speaking of Twin Spires, let us roll then into our Triple Crown Kentucky Derby coverage. We'll just do like a quick refresher on what the current, I guess, standing is, because I know we had, I think, with the 100.1, and we'll mention it too a little later on. It's going to be interesting because one of the 100-point winners, Endlessly, he was the winner of the Jeff Ruby Stakes at Turfway, but his owners have already said that they're not going to point him to the Kentucky Derby, even though he basically has a guaranteed spot in the game. We'll talk about that a little later. These current standings, you're gonna have to kind of take that with a grain of salt because obviously everybody's gonna move up one position. Let's see if I can find it here. I think I may have gone to the wrong place. Hold on.
Well, that's all right. No, so yeah, I mean, you're exactly right though. They came out right after that race and said, his best days are ahead of him on turf, and so they're pointing him to the it's the
It's the
grade
American
two,
turf,
the
I
American
think,
turf. Thank you. Yeah, the
on the
American
card.
turf, grade two for 3-year-old colts and geldings going on the turf, and that's where he's heading. And quite frankly, I applaud the move. I think it is, for so many owners. Just the fact that you have the opportunity to run in the Derby, they're going to take it. Hell and be damned, the consequences to the horse, they want to run in the Derby. And, I mean, how many times have we seen horses qualify for the Derby that aren't really true route of ground dirt horses but they still manage to get in because they get just enough points and enough people in front of them drop out. And they run in the Derby and they get their heads dented, and we never see them again. Or we don't see them again until the following spring because the Derby took so much out of them. And it took so much out of them to run in that race, that grueling race with 20 other horses, that they just have to take a break. So I think it is a wonderful move by the ownership and the trainer, and just I applaud them. We mentioned on Saturday, and depending on what happened with Aces, with Irish Aces, we had two plans in front of us. One of them being this allowance optional that we're pointing him to, and the other being the Turf Classic at Churchill on I guess it used to be the Woodford Turf
Yeah.
Classic. I think the name's
That
Old Forester
I'm pretty
now.
sure is the race that they're pointing endlessly
Yeah,
to.
well, no, Endless is going to the American, so it's a
Okay,
grade
okay,
two for
okay.
3-year-olds, and Irish Aces is going to go to the one for older
The
horses,
little horses, okay.
and that's what we were going to do, and but now and we probably still could run him in that race, but it's not going to do him any good to do that.
Yeah.
He's going to be much better off to get in this back in this allowance company at least for now, and maybe we can get him in that race for older horses next year.
So I finally found my Kentucky Derby leaderboard. I went to the wrong page. Patty's tired. Patty works too much. So I'll just go ahead and start from the top. And obviously, we have Catching Freedom. He's the Louisiana Derby winner. He currently leads with 125 points. Endlessly would have been in second place with his 100 from the Jeff Ruby, but since they've already announced that he is not going, he is obviously going to end up being off of this list. And then we have Track Phantom with 70 points. We have West Saratoga at 67. We have Timberlake with 66. Honor Marie with 65, which a lot of these horses recently raced against each other as well. So while they did not win, a lot of the they're also accumulating points through, I think, through fifth place, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, and yeah, West Saratoga got second place points
Yep.
on Saturday in the
Yep, and
meet. So,
I'm pretty sure Track Phantom did too, because I don't think he had 70 initially. Honor
is
Marie
he not?
did. I think Honor Marie definitely got placing points. So then we have Door Knock, we have Domestic Product, Deterministic, No More Time, Common Defense, and then Fierceness, who is the juvenile champion from last year. El Grand O, or Gr El Grande O, which I remember liking, and he just keeps hitting the board, and he keeps hitting the board in these races. Like, he hasn't won one yet, but he's still, like, comfortably on the board with 30 points. So that's, I'm kind of a little pleased for him, because I like the fact that he just keeps showing up, and he doesn't want to go away. And then we have Seize the Gray, Stronghold, La Dambro, Tuscan Gold, and Just a Touch. And then we have a bunch of horses who are going to be running this weekend between the Arkansas Derby and the Florida Derby, and we will preview that on a quick little thing that we'll release Saturday morning, because a lot of folks have been listening to those and you've been liking those. So we'll release another quick preview for Saturday morning. But Mystic Dan, Hades, Uncle Heavy, and a lot of these horses, McVeigh, will be running this coming weekend, Just Steal. So this point, once again, this race will change. And then we definitely have the horses from the Japanese Road to the Kentucky Derby. We have T.O. Password, who won the Fukuryu Stakes. Then we have Ramjet, Forever Young, and a rare Tabashiru. I haven't heard of that horse yet, but that's interesting. So yeah, we have a few, and some of the Japanese connections have confirmed that they are very much interested in running. So obviously, we're not going to know the final kind of shape up to the Kentucky Derby until the last of these 100-point races go, until we figure out which of the Japanese contenders are for sure coming. So, we'll have a final kind of like a final race draw episode, obviously, because it's the race of the year. But for right now, that's kind of how our list is looking like. I put this little tidbit, and we were talking about it earlier. But we are very much poor people, Jared, for not betting our own selection on this show.
Yeah, and normally I would have, but I had a bunch of buddies in town over the weekend. We came in to watch basketball, and it just didn't work out. But anyway, Catching Freedom, I think we both talked about. We both talked about Endlessly. We talked about West Saratoga. So we were kind of all over the board on a couple of those races. And maybe I need to just maybe I just need to quit doing everything else and just start gambling.
Well, it's like we would have done pretty. I'm pretty sure we would have done pretty well on the Breeders' Cup too. We had at least one horse in the trifecta for just about every race on both days. So,
Yeah, I'm not sure Scarlett's going to let me get away with it as much as I might like to try
no, I don't think she would either. Scarlett's a smart lady.
it.
So let's move on then. We'll jump into our second segment, which I have called this segment the horse's best interest. And I think it's because it's a very interesting topic and a worthy debate to have, because the horse's best interests can mean a lot of things. It could be the physical best interest, it could be the mental best interest, or it could just be what a combination of it, right? Where the horse is physically, mentally doing great, but like in the situation of Endlessly, he's not a rat of ground dirt horse so far from what his connections are telling us. And they frankly don't see a reason of tossing that poor horse into a 20 field pack of wolves. So I figure we could just kind of dive into what is the horse's best interest and how it varies and how it's different by the individual and why kind of tossing a blanket over it is a little disingenuous sometimes.
Yeah, you know, I think the key here is, you know, Mark and I talk all the time about how you don't ever know with a horse until you try something. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of times you're going to see horses, especially making their stakes debut, where you might look at it and think, what in the world is the ownership group doing here? Mm-hmm. When, you know, if they've been doing well, they've been getting progressively better, and, you know, maybe it makes a sense to take a shot. That's all fine and dandy, but if you continually take shots that you know the horse isn't ready for, that's a whole different situation. Yeah. So don't ever think, you know, don't think in any way that you were talking about in the horse's best interest in doing what's right by the horse, that you shouldn't take shots with them, and you shouldn't try them on the turf, you shouldn't try sprinting on the dirt, or mm-hmm. you know, you shouldn't try something different. But if you keep trying that same thing over and over again and it just doesn't work, then that's a whole different story.
Isn't that the definition of insanity?
That is, yes. So so you know, I certainly don't. You know, they had good reason. The owners of Endlessly had good reason to believe he was going to run well on the artificial surface in the Jeff Ruby. They have good reason to believe that he's not going to run well on the dirt, and they don't want to take a chance on messing him up. And again, as I said earlier, I mean, I think it's a very good move, and I applaud them for it. There are a lot of folks that would jump at the chance to be in the Derby no matter what, even if they knew it wasn't right by the horse. And again, kudos to that ownership group and trainer group, or ownership group and Mike McCarthy, the trainer, for making this decision. And we'll see how they stick, yeah. to it. And, you know, who's to say, maybe they try him on the dirt someday in a lower level stakes race, yeah. just to see how he does, you know, and to see if he can handle that dirt, maybe better than they anticipate that he will. But the place to find that out is certainly not the Derby.
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of folks, because it is the Derby, I think a lot of folks end up trying to take, not that risk, but like they try to take that jump and toss that horse into a situation that he's really never going to see again. And we've covered that pretty extensively, that you know, this is a situation that they are really never going to see again. It's so rare in American racing where you have more than 14 horse fields or more than 12 horse fields. So, you know, chucking a horse into the Derby where it's 150,000 people screaming at him on a surface he's never been on, going a distance he's probably yet to run at, against a massive field, like, that is a lot for a young horse. That's a lot for seasoned horses, much less, you know, these young horses. And it kind of reminds me of the situation with Bookham Dano, where he was one of those favorites, and people thought, oh, you know, he's for sure, he's going to be, you know, he's going to be these connections Derby horse. And the trainer, Derek Bryan, came out and he said that, I don't have any Kentucky Derby dreams. Like, he took that horse to the Saudi Cup, and he ran ahead away from winning in the Saudi Derby on Saudi Cup undercard night. And he said himself, he's like, this horse is a one turn horse. He's our horse. He's a big horse for us, but like, I don't have any Derby dreams for this. Like, it's just not, something that this horse is going to want to do. And I think and this is a horse who has run well on the dirt. And so I think that that's also extremely commendable, knowing that you have a good chance of having a horse who has proven he likes the surface. He could potentially run very well over there, but still having the wherewithal and the awareness of your athlete to say, look, he looks fantastic on paper. He's moving great. He feels great. but this is just not something that I think is going to be for him in the long run. Because he said it himself. He's like, I want a career with this horse, not so much, just one day to say, oh, I was at the Derby. Because I'm pretty sure Derek Ryan, I'm pretty sure he trained. I don't remember who he trained. Let me see if I can find it. I think he at one point had Musket Man or something like that on the Kentucky Derby trail. And he, I'll have to find it, and I'll post it in our underneath the in the comment sections later on. I think it is Musket Man. And he said that it was such a circus for him that he was just like he didn't want to do that again. And so I think that takes a lot to admit. And I think it's nice that finally we see connections who are on one page where everyone agrees, yeah, this horse is great. He's incredible. He's going to be an amazing horse, but he likes when turns, and we're not going to take him out of what he prefers to be at. I will always be on the side of connections like that, that can look at a situation and realistically say, look, it's not for our horse. So I
Yeah,
like it.
absolutely. Yeah, it's just again, we make decisions all the time. It's about doing what's right by the horse, whether it's giving him a break, scratching him out of a race that just looks way too tough,
Yeah.
taking a give him a few weeks off of training because they're a little ouchy or something,
Yeah.
it's not everybody operates that way, and that's just to your point, it's good to see other folks that do. And
Yeah.
so anyway, yeah,
Well,
very good.
I was curious, 'cause like I know, like obviously I know of the situations that I get all the email. I don't know if people realize, but I get every single email. So I see kind of the thinking that goes behind everybody, right? And like so kind of like before I came on, did Pocket Aces Racing ever really have like a big horse that you thought, man, we could take over the world, but then some part of you and the trainers got together and you're like, maybe this is not what this horse needs right now.
Well, I tell you, our very first race with Victory Morning back in 2006, when she won by 10 lengths, all the people, she was 2-year-old filly, and all the folks, the partners that were involved in her and there at the track in Charlestown, West Virginia, were all looking around each other, thinking, "Man, this is easy. We're going to take this horse to the Oaks." And we actually tried and tried and tried to get her into an allowance race at Charlestown. But they never would fill, and they never would fill. So we ended up putting her into a stakes race at Delaware. And she did not finish last, but she was not close
Yeah.
to the winner. And so certainly we readjusted our thinking real quickly on the level that she was going to be competing at. I think it's always, especially when a horse wins a race, in its first or second start, it's easy to get really excited, or even third start, it's easy to get really excited about what comes next. And there are a lot of folks out there that will go out of that maiden win right into a stakes race. Especially if it's an early maiden win, the first, second, or third start, something like that. And other than that first time, strictly because we didn't have any other options available to her, or at least none that we liked, we took a shot with Victory Morning in a stakes race, not because we necessarily wanted to, but just because that's kind of where we were. So I wouldn't say that there's been any specific horse that we've been like thinking, okay, this is the next big horse, let's get it in a stakes race right away. But that, it's always kind of our approach I should say always, most of the time been, okay, after that maiden win, let's get the allowance first, and then we'll decide if we want to go forward with a stakes entry or something along those lines. It's just, you can put them in over their heads real quick. They might win that maiden race in their second or third start really easily, but they may not have run against much of anything to do it. So that's why we tend to think that it's typically better off to get that allowance win under their belt first, though, you know, there's always different situations, and if the horse has just been, you know, training lights out, and you know it won, you know, the jockey just wrapped up on it, and it's still won by, you know, 15 or 20 lengths, it's first start, you know, maybe you reconsider then. But in general, it's just been to, you know, we take a fairly conservative approach with the horses, because we want to have them around for the long time, you know, more than anything. I know some people get impatient with us, and impatient because they want to see their horses running, and they don't want to spend, you know, money to have them there at the track and not running. But you know, sometimes that's what's best. That is what is best for the horse. Just take a little extra time, get it in the right spot, and you know, and go from there. But again, that's our philosophy. Other people do it differently, and you know, kudos to them.
Well, and I mean, we could look back at any number of the Pocket Aces runners that kind of came into their own later on in their seasons and their careers, and it says something for the patience. Like, you know, we talk about her a lot, but Temple City Terror, we've talked extensively about her. Aces High, you kind of said yourself, he did not start out the brightest
Well,
bulb of the bunch.
he's another one that took Temple City Terry took about 10 starts to break his maiden, but then when he broke his maiden, he won, no joke, by about 20 lengths at the fairgrounds. And we thought, oh my goodness, he's finally got it. But the reality was, he just ran into a field that just was not ready for him. And but again, he was a good horse. He won an allowance. I think the next race he won was an allowance, if not the next race, the one, you know, the second race after his maiden win, and you know, he won an allowance wire to wire at Oaklawn, and you know, a big purse race. So you know, he certainly had talent, but it took him a long time to figure out how. And I think there's a lot of people that would have probably dropped him in, you know, and for a $20,000 claiming price to try to get that win and get him off the books. And if we had done that, then we'd have missed out on a horse that again was graded stakes placed before, you know, that anyone won stakes. Did he win a stakes? Yeah, he won a stakes race at Evangeline, I think. So I think that's right.
And co I mean,
Anyway,
I feel like
yeah.
Copper Plate was also one of those like long-running patience projects too, I'm pretty
Yeah,
sure.
and he didn't take as long to break his maiden, but he took, yeah, after he broke his maiden, it took him a while to win the next race. And yeah, and part of that was, I think also it took us a little while to figure out what he needed, and which was what he needed was to be on the poly track. Yeah, he won on turf, he won on dirt, but he was a completely different horse on poly track. And we took a shot with him when things weren't going great, and we sent him up to Woodbine, and he won two straight races at Woodbine, and was he was just missed being graded stakes placed in a race up there. And then, so you know, it's just sometimes it takes you a while to figure out what's going on with each horse as well, in addition to take the horse a little while to figure out what we want them to do. So it's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a two-way street.
Well, and something too that I figured that are some of his old partners that maybe have stuck around with us would like to learn. His half sister actually produced Copper Plate's half sister actually produced Galia Princess, who won the Cicada. And I think the connections have said that they're thinking very, very strongly about the Oaks for her. So that's
Oh,
pretty
that'd be great.
cool. That's
Yeah,
pretty cool. We have our own little
absolutely.
connection to the Kentucky Oaks this year if she goes. And it was another good episode. So thank you for coming on, even through your melancholy. But I know, like, I pick on you because I don't really like entirely understand the college basketball, you know, any kind of like sports stakes. It's like I was a swimmer. Nobody ever paid attention to the swim team. But like on the same
Sure.
hand, I feel like the same people though will later on come to me if and I'm bummed out about something like international racing, and they'll do the same thing to me. So I'm just like, melancholy sucks, kind of no matter where it comes from. But thank you so much for joining me anyway.
Oh, you know, hey, I fight through it. I've had to deal with this the last couple seasons, and I guess Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with our coach. Sometimes, well, I guess there's supposed to be a meeting today between him and the athletic director, today being Tuesday, to see the direction of the program. Are they going to make a change? Is Cal going to make a change? Don't know. But for someone that grew up in Lexington, about 15 minutes from campus, my father went there. I went there. Scarlett was a cheerleader there. Both my kids went there. We're a UK family through and through, and I just I love my Wildcats across the board, even the swim team.
Well,
They just don't sell season tickets for swim meets, or else I would consider having those as well.
there's no way to. I know it's like a gut punch. Like and like my family, the only like comparable thing in my family that we have is like the Polish football team, which is soccer in America. We know it as
Right.
football. But like when the Polish team plays, and it's like my dad is not one of those like paint his face individuals, but man, if he had face paint in this house every time the Polish team plays, like and like it's like where my parents live, there's a lot of Polish people that still live there, and it is the one time this neighborhood is so obnoxiously loud, all the Americans are like, "What's wrong with you people?" And like, but they go nuts, and I see how it impacts them when they win or when they lose, and it's such a bummer. It's such a downer. Like you'll have people so huffed up going into some of these matches, and like if they win, you never hear the end of it. And if they lose, similarly, you never hear the end of it. It's just depressing. So it's like, okay. So I kind of get it, but I'm more of like a hockey fan. So but hopefully our little podcast recording episode has made you feel better.
Oh, I've had a smile on my face since we started.
Yay. I love hearing that. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in this week. I hopefully we put a smile on your face as well. Make sure you're subscribed to all of our social media channels. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're under Pocket Aces Racing. Make sure you're also subscribed to that YouTube. We keep promising things, but they're coming. I promise. We have features. You'll like them. Other than that, we're trying to get these workout videos and stuff uploaded as we get them as we can, but we're a little behind on stuff. But we're getting them there. We'll get there. But make sure you hit the bell. You're going to get those notifications and you're subscribed. So you get all those notices when the projects go live. And as I tell people, every Wednesday and on Saturday when we do previews, have a happy Wednesday. Have a good Wednesday. Make good choices. And the podcast is out.